Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with Ben and just one other person this week. I'm here with Eddie.
Hello!
So we haven't got Pete and we haven't got Kirk. I mean, we knew Pete was going to be off.
Yeah.
But Kirk is framing.
Oh, is that why? I didn't even see an explanation this time, so...
No, I think he just messaged me. He didn't...
Yeah, no, he didn't say to anyone. Yeah, just
no, poof. quite as a mouse. Yeah, just messaged me, said, sorry, can't do it. Okay, well, the show must go on. And to be honest, we've done this before, haven't we, Eddie?
Yeah, it was our best one.
I think it was. I genuinely think it was. I was gonna look at what episode it was because I was gonna have a little re-listen because it was a particularly goodie. But I think it was like probably like episode 30 or something like that. It was quite early on.
I think it was earlier than that because 30 is like 3/4 of the way through the year.
Yeah, I suppose it's. Yeah, maybe it was, but yeah, Pete, that was just when it was three of us.
Yep.
So I suppose it's a bit unusual that we didn't have more of them.
No.
But anyway.
I think a bigger reason of us bringing Kirk on was if one of us is off, then we could still do the podcast. But hey!
Yeah, well, that theory died a death, didn't it?
It is so, Pete's birthday. We should mention that as well. So that's kind of wise. Yeah. I mean, he could have brought his stuff down to Plymouth, his hometown, but...
I think it's also his dad's birthday as well, so it's double whammy.
Oh, you know what?
I think Pete would have done this on... If it was just his birthday, I think he would have done it.
Oh, absolutely.
But unfortunately, I think he's got a lovely meal. Well, fortunate for him, unfortunate for us. But actually, fortunate for everyone listening, because...
Wow.
This is going to be good.
Yeah.
Right, so let's get on with it. So we did a Warzone stream last week, didn't we?
Yep. It didn't go too well.
We weren't very good, actually. We weren't great. We weren't on top form.
I don't think that's fair. I think we were below our average. Well, way below our average. But I also think we just came across a lot of good people. I think so.
I think we were in. We seemed like we were in decent lobbies. We always use that excuse when when it goes wrong. But then on Saturday we were playing. And we got another win, didn't
we? I was wondering if you were going
to
bring that up, because that fat kid at school that was like, I just pulled someone around the back of a garage or whatever.
We're those guys.
Do you have any proof? Nah.
Nah. No way.
But we did. In fact, we had loads of games that we had loads of kills, but there's no proof of that, so...
there isn't, and it's a weird one, because we've been playing the game now for almost 3 weeks, and I'd say we've got 5 or 6 wins under our belt, but we did not look like we could do that
it didn't
the other night.
Look
but...
like it. You know, I was thinking in the stream, like, normally it takes us a couple games, and we get into... I don't know if it's a lobby, or maybe we just get confident or whatever... But then we seem to play a lot better, but that just didn't happen that night.
It didn't happen. But it might happen this Thursday, 7 PM BST. When we go again, round two.
Absolutely.
We're gonna play Warzone, the three of us can play again. And this time we're gonna get a win.
Oh wow, I was gonna say play better because that's a low bar.
Maybe I should have dialed up. This time we're gonna play better. No, we're gonna get a win.
Okay. And what happens if people log in and don't see us win? Do they get some
sort of... Well, then unfortunately, they'll have to tune in next week because then we'll get a win then.
Right, okay, so there's no guarantee. Right, okay, fine.
Right, no guarantee that you... Yeah.
Fine.
Well, luckily nobody pays money to watch us, so no money back guarantee.
Yeah.
Right, and also we're going to be upping our YouTube game, so we're going to be... bring out a video each week. That's our plan. We've put together a plan for the next couple of months of videos that we want to release each week. So yeah, we're going to start on that trend. So look forward to a bit more content from us. So anybody who wants to check us out on YouTube, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, please do that and subscribe, all that jazz, and keep up with the YouTube. But let's get on with this episode.
Cool.
We're going to go for the news, new releases, what we've been playing, and then, because it's me and Eddie, we're going to be talking about Warzone 2. What Pete, we expect,
Pete's
what
living
we know.
Right now. Pete's shouting that. You fucking
no, this, honestly, this was Pete's suggestion. I was with him
what?
The other day, and he...
Wow.
Yeah, cause we,
it's because he doesn't want to talk about it, so he wants it out of the way when he's not there.
Yeah, well, we went through, because we, listeners, we plan our features in advance, so we do them for like 3 months in advance. And because there's two of us, we're like, well, what can we do? And Pete, basically, I was going through the features with Pete, and he was like, no, I want to be there for those. So he then came up with another one. Why don't you guys talk about Warzone 2? Nice. Okay, nice. Let's do it.
And to be fair, perfect, because Kirk, I assume, can't talk about it because he's boycotting.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Kirk's boycotting, so he wouldn't be. He would just stay silent through that feature. So this is our one and only opportunity to actually talk about it. So we'll talk about what is actually known and expected and what we hope for when that eventually comes out. Yeah. Because Modern Warfare is coming out in a few months. So, yeah, let's move on to that. But first, we're going to do the quick news, as always. First up, Bayonetta 3 finally got a release date of the 28th of October. So, big Nintendo franchise made by Platinum. A lot of people looking forward to this. Yeah, and the trailer looked decent. So,
cool.
Yeah, well, that's coming out.
That's great.
To be honest, for the longest time, people were like, is this ever coming out?
Yeah.
So it finally got released.
Yeah,
so it is there now. And the next one, kind of an interesting one. The Warframe developer has announced another free-to-play fantasy action MMORPG called Soulframe.
Mm.
Don't know when that's coming out. It did get a trailer that's 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
And because it was 5 minutes long, I watched 30 seconds and went, oh, this is 5 minutes long. I'm not going to watch anymore. So I didn't really get a full gist of it.
Like, I got about 2.5 minutes in, and there was a bit like of a man laying down, and I skipped forward 40 seconds, and he was still laying down. So I was like, right. No, I'm not dealing with this. This is too long.
Mm, yeah. Have you played Warframe?
No, never played it.
When I originally got it came to Switch, I put in about 20 hours, which I know is nothing in the world of Warframe.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. So. They know how to make a good live service game. So that could definitely be one to check out if you've ever been into Warframe when that eventually does come out. The next quick news story. Bungie have now officially been made part of PlayStation. That follows on from the Haven Studios acquisition last week. So that's 2 in 2 weeks. PlayStation's acquisition team have been working overtime to get those two done. So, yeah, that's good stuff. Next one, Sea of Thieves Captaincy update. So that's, I think it's like a free DLC or something. It's been delayed to August. So if you're a Sea of Thieves fan and waiting for that one, that's been delayed slightly, not too long. And lastly, the quick news. A single-player action horror Aliens game has been announced, and it's coming to VR, consoles, and PC, made by the developer Servios.
Yeah, but that's very cool. I like that one.
There we go. Love Aliens, and I generally always try out the Aliens games.
Even the bad ones.
Yeah, even that even that multiplayer one that recently came out.
Yes, yeah.
I gave that one a bash with a mate on PlayStation. Yeah, that was, I quite like that one. But yeah, so another Aliens game along with that other one that we saw, which was like that turn-based combat one.
Yeah, the trailer didn't look like it was turn-based, and then all of a sudden we got what?
All of a sudden it was. All of a sudden we 1 second of gameplay. You're like, okay. Right. So let's move on to the big news. Do you want to kick us off?
All right, cool. I'm going to start with... I've got three, and I think you've got three, haven't you, Ben? I've just seen.
I do, yeah.
I did notice you said bring two to the table, because...
I did, but then you put three. Then I put three, so...
It's fine. I've got one very serious one, and then I've got two, like, kind of fun ones. So let's get the serious one out of the way. The UK government demands changes to better protect young people from loot boxes. Which is pretty cool. I'm going to go full read mode, as Kirk would call, so get ready. The UK government has told the UK games industry that if it won't take action on loot boxes, it will draw up legislation that will. The government today told game publishers that the luxury of regulating itself will cease if it does not take control of the sale of loot boxes to children and young people, as those that use loot boxes are more likely to experience gambling, mental health, financial and problem gaming related harms. Back in June 2020, the UK government announced it would launch a call for evidence on loot boxes in response to the Digital Culture, Media and Sport, that's DCMS, inquiry into immersive and addictive technologies, and began inviting responses from the public in September. After that investigation, the DCMS now says that loot boxes should not be available to children without consent of parents or guardians. And in a 90-page report, said it will not hesitate to consider legislation if companies do not bring in sufficient measures to keep players safe. Mm. That's all I'm going to say. They said some other cool things. The report's got loads of interesting things. For example, like... they need to signal to players that loot boxes are either neither essential or progression, nor guarantee success.
Yeah.
There's other things like limit the amount of purchases that can be made a set time period. There should be generous refund policies. There should be a system that you can track and view in-game spend.
Oh, that's important. Yeah, that's one that then. Yeah, that's a system which I think very few developers will want to put in.
I think and. Let me know if you're thinking a different route. I think that would be really, really good because of guilt. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like when you see,
absolutely,
I have just spent that amount of money in the last month and this. I mean, I get enough guilt from my bank balance when I see Halifax has got this new bar that says you're spending £800 a month more than you're earning. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, but the problem with the money, the way that we work as a society now is that it's just a number in a bank account. And it's like out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? But I'm with you. Like the guilt factor is a thing. It's like it's saying, look, this is what you've done. What have you actually got bang for your buck? Because... people like me who like to play games and stuff move on very quickly. I'd spend money in something and then immediately regret it when I shift over from that game.
You know what? You're totally right. Like the way we pay for things in our mind as well is completely changed. Like I used to go down to see EX, and because I couldn't physically hand over £40 sterling cash, I would take a few games in with me. So that when I'm handing over a £10 note, I'd go, what's £10? That's nothing. However, I mean, you see online now, what does our mate call it? Double tap? And that buys, you know, so many coins. And
£80 worth of FIFA coins.
Exactly, it's just gone. Yeah. It's the same with all these games. Like, you can just... I have my card set up on Steam, so if I want to buy a game, I'm just two clicks away.
I know, and it's dangerous. And I have this with games on the Switch as well. And I have it so that I have to enter my password in each time. Not because I'm scared that someone's going to pick up my Switch and buy something.
Yeah.
I'd actually be like, ooh, new game.
It took me a very long time on Steam to put my details in. I reckon I purchased probably 30 games. But, you know, it's one of those that I know I'm not irresponsible with buying games. I do so much research before buying games. So I just thought I'd chuck it in the end.
But I did buy one the other week when I was interested in it. And I was like, and I saw it was on sale. And I bought it at £15, and then afterwards I started playing it for an hour. I know this would be very good, but I also know that I'd have to really invest the time in it, and I'm not going to do that right now. So that game, I've just spent £15. But going back to loot boxes, I mean, we've been playing Warzone lately. Yeah. It's not a loot box because you actually know what you're going to get, but microtransactions in general. At least I know what I'm going to get when I buy the thing in Warzone, but I did actually spend some money. I got the battle pass, and I actually bought a little pack because I wanted a particular blueprint for a gun, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, with loot boxes, that's fucking dangerous when you just don't know what you're getting.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's... We've been over this, but I'm just hoping that this type of... this being brought up yet again in terms of government is a sign for, because we've had this before and things don't really happen, do they? But this seems almost like a last chance saloon, doesn't it? So
yeah, well, it's really good that the government have kind of voiced that out, their concerns as well, because now it's on paper and it's recorded. People can push back on that. So if it's been a year and
nothing's happened,
then people can reference this and push it and send in complaints and shit will get done. So
absolutely,
I'm over the moon about this.
I'll do a big one now. So PlayStation announced a loyalty system on their PlayStation 4 and 5 called PlayStation Stars. So I think this is due to come out before the end of the year. It's supposedly a lot like the Microsoft reward scheme where you earn points and then can trade those in for like Microsoft points, which you can use to buy like your subscription to Game Pass or games or controllers or something like that. I know Kirk did that recently with a controller.
Yeah, with his, was it his Halo controller? Is that right?
Yeah, something. Oh, was it the Forza? What's one of them? Oh, yeah, he got a. And their controllers are expensive, so he's obviously done enough to earn quite a bit through that. If you can hear a motorbike going on over in the background, then we've got, I think both of us have all the windows and all the fans on in the world. Like, it's hot, isn't it?
I've got a window open, I've got my little fan, but I don't think it's going to come out in the recording, so it's fine.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
For our listeners, I know I was moaning. Was it last week when you were saying it's too hot? But this week it is actually too hot. It hit 33, was it down here?
Yeah, and tomorrow's gonna be even worse. So I've got the dog who's currently under the sofa because she's so warm. So I've got a fan on her. It's just a necessary evil. If we've got background noise, we'll try and get rid of it. But it is what it is this week, I think. Yeah. But anyway, back to this PlayStation Stars. So PlayStation owners will acquire reward points by logging on and completing certain activities, just like with the Xbox stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you can redeem it for PSN wallet funds, and then you can spend that in the PlayStation Store on products. So it's exactly the same as the Xbox One. If you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you'll also earn loyalty points on purchases made via the PlayStation Store. So there's that, and you also will get certain activities will reward you with digital collectibles, which Sony describe as digital representations of things that PlayStation fans enjoy, including figurines of beloved and iconic characters from games and other forms of entertainment, blah, 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 blah. So I think you just get little things on the screen of different digital collectibles. Now, people, I saw this on Twitter when people were like saying that it sounds like NFTs and all this kind of stuff, and and as soon as I heard that, I was like, this just goes to show that most people that complain about NFTs literally know nothing about NFTs or the blockchain. They have no fucking idea what they're talking about. Oh, that sounds an awful lot like an NFT. But it's literally not.
But the same people that moaned about it back in the day didn't know what it was about.
Absolutely.
It was just one of those things to be angry at.
Oh, they're terrible. Oh, my God. No, I'm not saying they're good. We're on this pod, we've talked about it. We don't know whether they're good or bad. Like, we looked into it.
We did a whole feature on it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did do a feature on NFTs, what NFTs were, like what the blockchain is, all this kind of stuff, why it's important, the things that they could offer, and obviously the pushback from gamers. I'm not saying they're good. I'm certainly not saying that, but all I'm saying is most people that comment on NFTs know literally fucking nothing about NFTs. And we're probably included in that. So, but anyway, this subscription service is, this reward scheme is launching later in the year. And the big positive from PlayStation and Sony's standpoint on this is that it brings that gap between Game Pass and the Microsoft reward system and what they're doing. It brings that, it bridges that gap even more so. So ultimately, I don't think this impacts most people. Like, I never really invest in the Microsoft points. Like, it takes quite a bit of effort to build them up, I think. You have to use Xbox as your main console to be earning stuff, really, I think. But if you're into it, there's money to be saved.
I know some people love doing that. That's like their
absolutely.
Game, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Yeah. Like, they like to do the little things to earn the points and all that kind of play this game, earn that point, do that level, earn some more points.
Exactly that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Kind of their idea of, my idea of fun game is to get immersed in one game there is, you know, get the stars.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's legit as a form of entertainment as well. So,
yeah, absolutely.
If you're into it, there is money to be saved.
If anything, it's more valuable than what we do because they're at least getting some sort of material out
absolutely.
Of it.
Having fun and getting money for it.
And getting paid for it, yeah.
Yeah, crack on.
All right, my next one is about CD Projekt Red and their value reportedly dropped from £7.1 billion to £1.8 billion after Cyberpunk 2077.
Jesus.
Which is a 75% decrease, which is quite big. Anyway, this new story, it's everywhere, but I got this one off Gaming Box. It describes it the best. Cyberpunk 2077 has cost CD Projekt a number of ways, and a recent report by Business Insider Poland has further reinforced that fact. According to the report, the Polish company's stock value has fallen more than 75% of what is before the launch of Cyberpunk 2077. Within a few months of the RPG's release, CD Projekt Red market cap had halved, and then halved again by March 2022. Its estimate value was stood around 40 billion. Oh, fuck. What's the Polish?
The acronym is PLN, isn't it?
But yeah. I don't. Oh, fuck. Come on. What is it? This is going to kill me.
You're on your own here. You're on your own.
No, I'm typing this in. I can't do them this disservice. A lot of Polish people are screaming right now.
I'm not sure whether we have any Polish listeners.
We do have Polish listeners.
No, I see the demographic. We've got many, many countries, but I'm not sure if I've seen Poland.
Oh, I apologise, guys. This is taking a lot. Oh, it's saying pound sterling. I'm pretty sure it's like... zloty, that's it. Zloty.
There you go.
Fuck me, yeah. That took a while. I think Polish don't even pronounce it that. I think they pronounce it zloty, zlota, or something, but... Anyway, I think we're getting off track.
Right, good. Yeah, there we go.
Trying to not offend Polish people.
No, so. I think at that point it was like a general knowledge thing, and they're just showing that we didn't have any.
Yeah.
So there was no information being passed.
Anyway, 40 billion zloty, which is about 8.3 billion euros in late 2020, is currently at less than 10 billion zloty, about 2 billion euros. So basically, I know we all say about how CD Projekt Red did well with Cyberpunk and it sold well, but fuck me, this is evidence that it maybe was a bad thing.
Do you think that after this story has been run, the share price is more likely to rise because people are going to buy it?
Yes.
Because they're like, wow, it's a real rock bottom, isn't it? And CD Projekt have announced the next Witcher.
Yeah, no, that's what all these things say. They say about the next Witcher, they say about Cyberpunk DLC coming out soon.
Absolutely. Pete and I were discussing this yesterday, actually, about the Cyberpunk DLC, because I just pray to God that they do commit and do some story DLC for Cyberpunk, because, I mean, Pete and I and Kirk all loved that game. Yeah. And I know, Eddie, I think if the DLC came out and it was very good, I think you'd jump in and I think you'd really, really enjoy it.
I'm waiting for an excuse. I downloaded the demo and I was just about to play it, but it was one of those that I actually thought about and I went, I've already played the first 40... How many hours is it? Whatever hours it is. Because I did play a lot of it before returning it. But so I think there was kind of no point me doing it again.
I tell you what, if you did a different one of the storylines, because you get to choose the three to start with, if you did a different one just to keep it fresh, and honestly, on your Series S, it will look like a different fucking game.
Oh, I bet. Like, yeah, because I had it on the old Xbox, didn't I?
Yeah, I loaded it up after the next-gen patch came on my PS5, and my God, that game looks so good.
Yeah. Well, even then, I've got my Uber computer now, so I could even buy it on this if I...
Ooh, yeah.
If I really want to experience it the right way. But no, I'm going to wait for do you remember that leak about what...
I know, I just...
So...
Again, Pete and I were going through that leak yesterday, because we were like, because he was saying, look, it is coming true, X, Y, and Z pointed out. I just wanted... There was a leak that we saw that said about some kind of Gwent-like game.
Yeah.
That was going to be introduced with like monsters or something, and there was that arena battling and stuff. I don't know, like it all seemed like bollocks. But if they put something like that in, I'd be back in an instant. I just need a reason to play it.
Yeah, I think even if the DLC went like you have upgradable player housing and there's kind of a reason to it, that's all I need. All I need is something simple like that.
Yeah, because at the moment they did that DLC with the different apartments you can get, but I'm not sure you can like upgrade. Like, there's no reason.
It was it was another one of those. There was no reason to it. So, what's the point? Anything for me to get the game and then do the story all the way through, that's all I want. Because I do want to. Because this game, obviously it wasn't talked about the way it was hyped up, but it's still a huge game in gaming history.
I know.
We will talk about this game for the next 100 years.
100 strong, but I hope that it does get continued support and then is eventually recognised as a good game, because I genuinely think it is. But moving on to another good game, which I think it's bound to be good. God of War. So these special editions, there are two special editions. There's a collector's edition and the Jotnar edition. They were both, they went on sale and immediately sold out. Surprise, surprise. I think it took 5 minutes to sell out. So there are two different versions in the UK of these collector's ones. I think one is £180 and one is £230. However, you now can only buy them on eBay for, I think it's between 400 and 550 quid.
I think the scalp has got them good.
Yeah, so I think that's happened. Now, scalping is an issue, obviously. But I think part of the issue has to be with Sony and not producing many of these. Like, that what we can tell is that if the scalping price is up at that level, I realize that they want to make them scarce, and in doing so, they make it cool and they make it more valuable and they make it worthy of the price, because that's the whole kind of point of it. I mean, scarcity can often control value to a certain degree. But if they're being scalped and then sold for 500 quid, this is simple supply and demand. And that would teach you that you could produce a few more without devaluing the product that you have, without devaluing the product below what you are charging. So it seems like Sony in themselves have caused this a little bit. If you sell out within 5 minutes everywhere, I think that's just a bit much. But regardless of that, the actual collector's edition does look pretty cool. I mean, for that kind of money, I'd be expecting the Earth, so I'd never pay it. But forget about the price for the moment. It looks pretty cool. Got a lot of good stuff in there. It's got a replica Thor's hammer and stuff like that. Looks pretty cool. And from the unboxing that's been done, again, looks quite sturdy, and they're pointing out like good craftsmanship and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, fine. Looks lovely. One interesting issue is that, like with other collector's editions in recent times, and I do not understand it, none of them come with a disc version of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all digital code. Now, presumably, this is because they just want to sell one version, and they don't want to sell a PS4 and PS5 version of these collector's editions. But I would just say, just make a PS5 version only. Just say, if you're going to buy the collector's edition, you get a PS5 version of the game.
Yeah.
And go from there. Or even a disc that could be a dual disc. I don't know how it works. Like, I don't want to put myself down, but I'm not a game dev. I don't know whether you could put both on the same disc or what have you. It just seems weird and really annoying that if you spend 230 quid, you've got to spend another 70 quid on the game, so it's going to cost you 300 quid to get a physical version of the game and all this cool stuff.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has the same issues with you with discs, but I do see your point. I like the whole thing together. I really do.
Yeah, well, I'm buying a collector's edition for physical stuff, I'd want a physical game.
Yeah, but I don't think that's not fair. Plus, what would Kirk do? How can he frame a game if he hasn't got a disc?
Absolutely. You know, what's Kirk going to do when... I mean, he's just going to be doing retro for the rest of his life, isn't he?
Yeah.
What's he going to do into the next gen? Who bloody knows? Anyway, what's your final story, Ed?
I'm scrolling down. The last one is another negative one, of course. Unity engine boss insults mobile game devs who don't focus on microtransactions. He has now apologised, but we'll get to that. This story is from Eurogamer. Unity boss John, I'm definitely going to pronounce this wrong, Ricciatello? I reckon that's right, actually.
Yeah, go with that. Yeah, yeah.
It's lovely two job. C's, but I think that's a Ricciatello.
We haven't got a Pete here to correct you, so...
We're going to go with it then. He's apologised for calling developers that don't prioritise monetization in the creative process fucking idiots. Earlier this week,
oh, goodness.
Ricciatello was slammed for stating that mobile developers who don't seek to squeeze monetization from their smartphone games represented only a very small portion of the game industry, calling them the most beautiful and pure, brilliant people that were also some of the biggest fucking idiots. After insulting the interview was clickbait and out of context, Riccatello has now apologised for the crude word choice and said if he had been smart in choosing his words, he would have said that he is working to provide developers with tools so they can better understand what their players think, and it is up to them to act or not based on this feedback.
Wonderful.
You should read the apology. It's fucking long and it's nonsense. It's one of those apologies that aren't really apologies.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, he's apologizing to just make the story go away because,
yes,
like, there isn't much to like, if you are making a mobile game and you want to make money, you're going to have to focus on monetization. If you don't focus on monetization, your game's not going to do very well. You're not going to make much money out of it. Mm-hmm. And gamers can sit there all day long and say, yes, but we don't like microtransactions, we don't like this. And yes, I would prefer to pay 25 quid for a game and get the game in full. But in the mobile world, that's not really what happens. Mm. Nobody's paying 25 quid for a mobile game, but they will pay 25 quid worth of microtransactions during the process of owning that game. So that's just how it kind of works. So, you know,
I think it's difficult because I think he's saying, like, I don't think that they should be their main focus because, I mean, I'm a gamer, so I want the game to be their main focus, the enjoyability of it. And I think, yes, it should be a later thought of what the two mobile games that I've ever paid for. One was just a beautifully crafted game. I think it's called Alto's Revenge or something like that. It's this beautiful, atmospheric snowboarding down a hill game. It's so simple, but it's so beautiful. And I bought that because I appreciated it and the work that went into it. And the other one was that football game that we've talked about in the past where I bought it before they even had the, like, you can pay for full thing. And then I just
New Star Manager?
Yeah, it's not that. It's the one before it. It's by the same developers, and you just control one person throughout their career. And you curl the ball around people and stuff.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it. And only later on did they add in the old pave to get rid of the ads. And because I'd already chucked probably 1,000 hours into it, I went, oh, go on then. I don't know. I just think I want people to not focus on money.
I think the idea would be let the game speak for itself, and money will flow your way if you have good monetization, but through a good game, then.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think a lot of these games have to start from a first principle of how do we eventually monetize?
Yeah.
Okay. Because otherwise, like the whole everything that you're doing in gaming is you have to fund it.
Yes,
just and for the love of games, yes, I understand what you're saying, but also just from a mobile gaming is different. It's different to other games because you know you have to start from a principle of how do we monetize. Whereas if you're making a game for console, you start from a principle of how do we make a bloody good game that people then pay for.
I guess. Yeah.
So. Don't know. It's an odd one, but yeah, you probably shouldn't be saying, probably shouldn't be calling anybody a fucking idiot. Like it's, if they've got a different take for how things have been done, like
I mean, the gaming industry get pissed off when someone calls someone like something nice.
Yeah.
So
yeah. The thing is, like he's talking from a very capitalist mindset, you know, some people making video games are doing it because they love making video games, and they're not. Doing it, you know, they've got a different focus. Not everyone is so focused on money. So, he did call them beautiful and pure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Beautiful and pure, brilliant people. I mean, is that a bit? Is that really what he means? Because he follows it up with some biggest fucking idiots, or is he saying it in kind of a obnoxious way?
I think he's saying it in an obnoxious way because his focus is money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But anyway, he's apologized. Moving on to the final story that I have. Skate 4 has been talked about, and it will be called Skate, so not Skate 4, and it will be free to play. So not much to say on this one without Kirk being here, because I think he would actually be genuinely excited for Skate 4.
He was he's into his big skating game, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So shame that he's not here to talk about it, but it's been confirmed by EA that it'll be called Skate, be free to play, it'll be a live service game. And the way that they framed that is by saying, oh, because then we can listen to feedback and respond to it and all that kind of stuff. It's coming to PC, consoles, and it's also coming to mobile. Again, that suits the free-to-play mindset, doesn't it, if it's coming to mobile. This, I think, has been met with some groans, because free to play often means not very good or heavily monetized, like through microtransactions. But
yeah.
It's been described as a sequel, not a remake. No, sorry, not a sequel, not a remake, but an authentic evolution.
Ooh.
Whatever the fuck that means for a skate game.
Authentic evolution.
So I think it can mean that it's not going to be very good, or it could mean that it's going to be a great game, but have limited content for free, and it's microtransaction heavy. So who knows? There's no release date yet, but I'm sure the jury will be heavily out on this one, because this is a franchise that people care about. You know, people genuinely care about Skate. Skate 3, I think, was widely regarded as one of the best skating video games ever. So,
Tony Hawk, roll in your grave.
Yeah, well, since probably Tony Hawk 1 and 2. So,
I mean, they are famous for their bugs as well. So that's why I kind of think it's good that it's a live service game, because, this could be buggy.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. And I'm sure when you put free to play on that, it'll be even more buggy when it comes out.
Buggy, ooh,
real bug city population then. Right, so on to new releases.
Cool. Not a bad week. Not a great week. Not a bad week this week. We're going to start with Severed Steel coming out on PlayStations on the 20th of July, and Switch on the 21st of July, and Xboxes on the 22nd of July.
Why Who does this?
Why have they done this? I don't understand this. Anyway,
great. I respect it, actually.
just to piss people off like me. This is a stylish single-player first-person shooter featuring a fluid stunt system, destructible voxel environments, loads of bullet time, a unique one-armed protagonist, and a protagonist? Oh, Sean Connery. And Joe a dark on electronic soundtrack.
Very good, very good.
Miss Moneypenny. this came out on PC in September 2021. It's a first-person shooter, obviously. The visuals and the levels look great. Amazing gunplay. It's a nice mix-up of music, and it works really well with the game. There's the kind of like the main bits are there's lots of destructible stuff which you can literally blow holes in walls and stuff. And a big one that I like is there's no reloading, as because you're one-handed, so you have to like shoot people and then take their guns. It's very positive on Steam. There's a free demo. This looks really good.
It looks really good, doesn't it? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think it's one for me, but my God, does it look stylish. Yeah. Pretty much, you know that game that's recently come out, Neon White? Have you been hearing a lot about that?
Yes, it's, yeah.
Like, getting lots of good reviews and all that kind of... Yeah. It looks very similar in a way to that. Just really more first-person shooter heavy, and also more almost like cyberpunk neon.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all got a bit of John Wick about it. It's like...
I still see where you're going with that, yeah.
Because of the bullet time, not because of anything else.
Yeah.
But it's just, it looks fucking cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I might even get this, you know. It's got three demos, so I think I might... you know what? It's funny, because I was all into this until I saw this next game. Next game is Bright Memory Infinite. Coming out on PC, PlayStation, and Xboxes, July 21st. Bright Memory Infinite is an all-new lightning fast fusion of the first person shooter. It's because why does Pete keep on copying FPS? I hate that. First person shooter and action genres created by FYQD Studio combine a wide variety of skills and abilities to unleash dazzling combo attacks. This came out on PC November 2021. It's the sequel to the popular Bright Memory. The gunplay looks awesome. The visuals are cool. It says mix and match available skills and abilities to unleash magnificent combos on your enemies. You can customize your guns, and your sword animation shit looks really cool. I honestly, I've seen lots of videos of this, and it looks great. It's very positive on Steam. This looks like... To say to our viewers, like, the first game looks like it's very much a level-based game. You're in, like, finite areas, and it's all blocky. It's kind of cyberpunk feel. This Bright Memory Infinite is set in, like, the world in the future where apocalypse has happened. It's really rainy, it's dark, and there are some big monster things that they do explain it apparently in the game of what's happened, but it just looks dark, and it looks like a dark and gritty game. It looks brilliant as well,
but it's got that like Japanese art style to it, but not overdone.
I was watching the trailer
for this game, and I was like, okay, I'd never heard of this game, Bright Memory Infinite. Never heard of the original Bright Memory either. But then I saw reviews were like incredible. And the trailer was ticking along. I was like, okay, well, this looks like quite a few other kind of Eastern kind of like first person shooter RPG type games. And then suddenly changed that gunplay. And I was like, holy shit. And the music was fucking perfect for it. And I was like, whoa. And it looked like every gunshot was like proper impactful.
Absolutely.
Everything looked really, really good. So
I thought the gunplay on the last one was good, but my god, on this, like especially some of the moves with the swords and stuff, it's
I was exactly the same. Saw that first game, Severed Steel, and I was like, wow, okay, that's a nice start. Then saw this, and I was like, Jesus Christ, we got two FPSs, which are just like real, real goodens if you're into that.
And they must be good because they were out on PC and they're coming over to consoles. So that's
and it's just coming to PS5 and to the Xbox Series consoles, I believe, not to previous gen. So that also implies that, because it did look fucking good as well.
So
it does imply that it's just built for the next gen kind of graphical capabilities.
Very cool. Next one, Coromon. We've talked about this. It comes out on Switch July 21st. Coromon is a modern take on the classic monster taming genre. That's a great line. Pete put lol on that line. So he's got time to come onto our dock and laugh at stuff. Tame Coromon and explore a vast world filled with thrilling turn-based battles, brain-twisting puzzles, and a mysterious threat to the world awaiting defeat. Nobody said a battle researcher was easy. Well, no, I suspect they wouldn't.
Nobody's ever said any opinion on a battle researcher either.
I think if they would, they'd probably say the opposite.
Well, I would say hard. So, Scott. Battle in the title, and but if you said, oh, have you got any opinion on a battle researcher, I go, what's a battle researcher?
I don't know what it is, but it sounds quite hard.
I don't think I wanted it. I think it would need
high pay. So this came out on PC in March 2022. We ripped it back then for being a complete rip-off of Pokemon, because the only way to describe it to our listeners is it is Pokemon.
Yeah, it's red and blue Pokemon.
it's
but
Pokemon
in colour. It's Pokemon. No, but it's like you're walking through tall glass. It's Pokemon.
Everything about it is there must be some bits that Pokemon are gonna go like, come on,
how are you allowed to do it? How is that a thing? This is no comment on the game because it's got 9 out of 10 on everywhere,
very positive in Steam.
Coromon, it walks the tried and tested path of the Pokemon formula. And even shows in the trailer like the three evolution stages of each monster and stuff.
Brilliant.
Anyway, if you like Pokemon, you want another game on Pokemon on the Switch, and you like Red and Blue, and maybe you're not into the later ones, fill your boots.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is, some might say, a modern take on the classic monster taming genre.
That's a widely popular view on this game.
Brilliant.
And it's coming to Switch, so Switch should be a good home for that.
I'll tell you what, Switch is a very good home for that, because this, to me, screams Game Boy Color. So
absolutely.
Switch.
Absolutely. That's the vibes they're going for.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Yeah, Switch is great for it.
All right, next one. Hell Pie. Great name. Come on, PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, and Switch. July 21st. It's the whole board. Hell Pie is an obscene 3D platformer that takes bad taste to the next level. Hell Pie sees you grab the horns of Nate, the demon of bad taste. Brilliant. He is given the honourable task of gathering the disgusting ingredients for Satan's infamous birthday pie.
Infamous? I've never heard of it.
Yeah. It's a 3D platformer. It just doesn't look very special. It looks like it's for kids, kind of the art style, but it does contain some really graphic stuff, so I assume it's not.
I think the kind of what they're going for in this game, and also the attention that they've put in the trailer, which they try to make quite funny and is actually quite good, it's well beyond what this game actually seems to be. this game doesn't seem to be anything really special at all.
No.
But no offense to it. Well, actually, offense. Well, but,
you know what? It's
good trailer though.
It doesn't. It's bragging about like certain mechanics, but I don't want to compare it to it because I don't like it being in the spotlight. But It Takes Two like has so many different. If you compared this to It Takes Two, you'd say It Takes Two has 12 different types of mechanics compared to this little.
Well, I'd also say that this looks like an indie game, and It Takes Two is
a big game. It's a game of the year. But
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I don't think the reason I wouldn't compare it to It Takes Two is because they shouldn't be compared.
Yeah, fine. I see puzzle platformer shitty
you
game
put all
like this,
platformers
and I put them
in the same
all
league
together.
Like, that was probably like the biggest of its type around.
And I still didn't like it. So.
And that's fine. That's fine. Like I didn't really like it that much either. But
my mum did.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
She fucking loved that shit.
Yeah, it's weird. I didn't really like it either.
She got upset when I came up the other week and I didn't have it on my Xbox. But I was like, well I'm not going to keep it on my Xbox. Sorry.
No, I don't think it's one that you go back to.
No, it's not. But anyway, yeah. Hell Pie does have a demo on Steam. So you can actually go and play it now if you really want to play this game. Wouldn't recommend it, though.
Maybe watch the trailer. The trailer's better than the game seems to be.
Okay, watch the trailer, and that's the best you're going to get out of that game.
Yeah,
and it's free, so there you go. Next one, Capcom Arcade Second Stadium, coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch, July 22nd. Play more of your favourite arcade hits from yesteryear. Include Sonson for free. Fuck me. This is loads of shitty games. You can get a bundle for a lot of money. And I was really pissed off because I went through the list of 30 games to see what games I recognised. And there was like 6 Street Fighters in there. So they didn't even like group them all together. The only other one I recognised, well, that I gave a shit about, I should say, is, I don't know, I've even deleted it. That's how much I cared about this.
Yeah. Well, this isn't for us. That's what I get. Like, I have no real opinion. Right. There will be people that fucking loved Capcom, that loved everything they ever did, that loved all those fighting games, and this will be right up their street, and I celebrate those people.
I loved those games, but there's a big difference between loved and loves. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was all into this when I was a kid, but...
Yeah, because it's the only thing we had.
But now look, I mean, we're 30 years older. I mean, oh dear. Never mind. Mm. There you go, guys. That's coming out on July 22nd. If you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, we started strong with this week, so pick us up again. Pick us up. We dropped off a little bit.
Is it Live Alive?
No, Live Alive.
Live Alive. But it's
That's A it, yeah.
separately.
Yes.
Live Alive.
I think the second one is one word actually. It's live alive. That's
it's not. It's definitely not. No, there's definitely live space A space live in everything.
Okay, but it is it is live alive.
All right, fine. Live alive. Coming out on Switch,
live alive.
July 22nd. Many heroes, many stories, many lives to live. Or live. Discover a series of interwoven tales stretching throughout time, remastered in stunning HD 2D with a Live Alive on Nintendo Switch. 1994 RPG. It was published by Square Enix.
Yeah.
Can you read that? That's so cool.
Yes, and Square Enix are publishing it in Japan, and Nintendo are publishing it in the rest of the world.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. I was really, really happy to see that. Square Enix, back in those days, they brought out some bangers. I remember looking
absolute
at the list.
Bangers, yeah. Absolute well, bangers. I mean,
They're still big time, Eddie. Yeah, they're still big time. I'm not putting them down. The new visuals remind me a lot of Octopath Traveler, that kind of visuals.
Absolutely,
do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's right up the Octopath Traveler street, I think. Especially with these different stories, like the different heroes, different stories. They're really treading that Octopath.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, this was a pioneer, 1994, but I don't think it ever got a Western release. So if anyone has played this previously, they probably played it with a dodgy translation. unless they knew Japanese. And by all accounts, it was a good game. And, you know, it's been heavily pushed by Nintendo. It's been on several Nintendo Directs and all that kind of stuff. So, I think this is going to be a good game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you get it?
I would. And I might, but there are a lot of good games coming out.
Yeah.
So, I just don't think I'll have the time to give to it, really. Yeah, and I don't want it to be another one where I put in some time and then just sack it off. Like, Octopath Traveler, I didn't finish. That's a long fucking game, though. Long fucking game.
Yeah, even I started that one. Can you believe?
Yeah.
I think that's the first time of that game I've ever played. But
I think I did 25 hours on it, I think.
I think I had about 10. Said.
Yeah. Mm. But you kind of get your... get your fill of it a little bit, but this seems to keep it fresh, different stories and stuff like that. So
next one and last one, Immortality, coming out on PC and Xbox Series X July 26th. Marissa Marcel was a film star. She made 3 movies, but none of the movies was ever released, and Marissa Marcel disappeared. An interactive trilogy from Sam Barlow, creator of her story.
Not necessarily a film star, if never been released, though, I'd say. I don't know when you become a film star. Like, star of a film.
Yeah, that's the point. I think a film star means you're a star of films, as in the film industry.
Is it a film if you've never been... It's like a tree that falls down the woods. Did it make a sound? I don't know if it's anything like that, actually. That analogy,
No, you're totally right. Because the film wouldn't be released, would it?
Yeah, exactly. So are you a star?
It's like when
it's not a film. Yeah,
it's not like when publishers go, "Oh, make this film," and then they go, "Actually, this is dog shit. We cut all funding. Oh, yes, we can't release it." That's not a film, then, is it?
It's not a film. Yeah. So you're not a film star. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, fuck me. Well, this whole game, the whole premise is fucked.
It's a nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense. But if you're still interested, it's an interactive mystery movie game. I think this would be really cool to watch on stream, personally.
Actually,
it's like watching you play The Quarry. That was quite fun.
I actually think this probably is one to watch on a stream. I mean, I don't want to be the streamer playing it, but I might watch it. Her story was supposed to be quite good.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those interactive ones that you kind of follow, and I don't know, it's not for me. And this was originally shown, I think, at the Indie Xbox event that went on for fucking ever, and I hated. It turned me right off at that event, and then when I saw it was out this week, started to research it, just turned off straight away. It's not for me. But if you like her story, which actually did get incredible reviews, this might be right up your street.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it for them new releases. My pick of the week... and I feel bad. It's actually Bright Memory Infinite.
Yes.
Over Severed Steel, because Bright Memory Infinite is my... I like immersion. This game looks dark, gritty. Well, don't get me wrong, Severed Steel looks great, but this Bright Memory Infinite looks... the gunplay looks fantastic. It's set... I love, because my interest in ancient China, I love anything, you know, Chinese-y. It looks great.
Yeah, you know, anything Asian, it is a different type of game that is made by like Eastern developers, I think, and they do.
Absolutely.
I really like those games as well.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Yeah,
I thought this one is definitely put the headphones on,
oh, yeah.
Get in front of the monitor, Yeah. Fucking love that, yeah.
Love it.
This is the gunplay looked fantastic.
Get the vibration on your controller.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially maybe on the old haptic on the PS5.
There you go. Don't do that to me.
Bloody love it. Right. Okay, what have we been playing? Do you want to lead off, actually?
Yeah, because you've got quite a big one that I'm really excited to hear about, because you know how much I've always wanted to play that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start with a nice little indie gem. This one's called Industries of Titan. This is by Brace Yourself Games. They actually gave us a code to this, didn't they, Ben, a while back?
When I saw that you were going to talk about this, I thought, well, yeah, because we got that code fucking ages ago. I remember giving that to you months ago.
Well, the thing is, Ben, I'll be honest with you. I played it straight away, and I was planning to do a video and everything, because, you know, I do really appreciate when we get codes for these things. But I didn't really enjoy it. So I'm kind of getting to the end of my review already. It's one of those games that I know once I was in the mood for it, I would play it again. And this week I've played so much of Three Kingdoms Total War that it's one of those. You know when you play games so much that you actually go, I need to step away for a bit.
Yeah.
And I need to freshen the palate. I need to go and play some nice, a darling game, a nice strategy game, just freshen the palate. So that's what I've done this week. Don't get me wrong, I've still played a shit ton of Total War. But yeah, I've gone back to this. I wanted to give it the time of day, so I put some more hours in. So to the listeners, it came out in April 2020. It's an isometric city-building kind of sim strategy game. It's set on Saturn's moon Titan. And with that, the visuals, the music, the atmosphere of the whole game is fantastic. It's really, really well crafted. It's kind of like cyberpunk / industrial world. Pete will probably say there's a fucking word for that, wouldn't he? Like cyber indie punk or something?
So what is it? Is it top? It's top down?
It's isometric.
Isometric, you said, yeah.
Isometric, yeah, okay. Real time. Don't get me wrong, you can pause it and you can fast forward and stuff. But it's quite a fun game just to put on normal speed and watch you guys go. Cool. The whole point of the game, I guess, is, and this I kind of get into the bad bits already, it's just to build up your city, really, and earn more money. But I want to get to the other bits first. The best bit about the whole game is the UI. I know that sounds really bad, but the UI is the best I've ever seen in any game. Any strategy fans listening, seriously, just type in Industries Titan, look at the screenshots, and everything. Yeah, Ripley agrees. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Ripley's all in.
Yeah, all into the UI. Best UI. And it goes well, really well. Like, it makes the visuals, the music, and the atmosphere, it makes it all better. Like, I can literally just leave my people to go on, and it just feels like a proper world. To describe it, it's always, like, kind of dark or gloomy. It's always, like, wet. So it feels like a proper, like, cyberpunk kind of world.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, so that you've got two kind of bits to the game, which is a bit weird. You've got your outside, which you can look down on your buildings and your HQ and your spaceport or whatever. And then you kind of zoom into all buildings. Now, the point in this is you put down a building, and it's all about what you put inside the building. So you can have factories that, you know, produce more money or whatever. You can have stations that get you a different type of currency. And so it's all about going into these buildings. You only have a finite amount of, like, blocks that you can use. So it's like a fun Tetris system where you're trying to put your machinery in so that it's most efficient as possible. I restarted the first time I played this. I restarted the game so many times because I realized, like, oh no, it'd be so much better to have this machine next to this machine because then they can transfer the goods so easily. So it's kind of really fun. It's simple but really fun in that regard. It's also good they have an inside to build your ships. So when you get a shipyard, quite a few hours into the game, and you build your ships, you do exactly the same, so you can kind of fit weapons in and whatnot, which is quite cool. Those ships are used as well. You can build, like, defensive turrets to help you from, like, raids, I guess they are.
A raid, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do love a raid. But I guess that brings me nicely to the big problem of this game. And it's not just me that thinks this. I've seen a lot of people saying about this, because part of me thinks I'm missing something about playing this game. And the problem is, there just doesn't seem to be a point to it. There doesn't seem like every game that, you know, you have your raids or whatever, you always feel like a progression. Like, you feel like you're building up your character. Or maybe, like, in strategy games, you feel like, yes, I'm building a better place for my colonists. But in this game, you just don't feel that. I think it's because your colonists that you have, or your workers, or whatever you call them, there's no focus on them whatsoever. They're kind of just like robots. So you don't feel progression in that.
So do they, your colonists, I suppose it's not like RimWorld, you don't name them and all that kind of, there's too many colonists.
Exactly. There aren't too many colonists, but yeah, you stick them in like this machine to make money. You can turn them into your actual workers, but again, they just look like slaves and stuff.
Do they have attributes, different attributes?
No. They're just there and they do their thing.
So you are just building a city and trying to just build up an arbitrary kind of like economy.
It's kind of building up your industry. Industries of Titan. But I feel like a lot of other games just kind of do the I don't want to say do it better. I'm not going to say that because it's a beautiful game. Do the mechanics better. You know, like I play other games like Factorio. Fuck me.
I chucked
thousands of hours into that. But this game, there's nothing that I'll end it with this. It took the look and feel of the game is a 9 out of 10. Absolutely right up there with some of the best games. But my want to play it, the replayability, the, you know, when you walk away from a game and you go to sleep and wake up the next morning, it's like a 2 out of 10. There's no part of me that goes like, oh, I can't wait for that next bit, because there isn't really a next bit that's worth looking forward to. The caveat to all this is it's an early access game. So I don't want to shit on it.
Is it early access?
Exactly. So I'm going to say the one thing, if you've played this game before, then drop a message to the devs. If you haven't played it again, played it before, and you look into it and you think maybe, drop a message to the devs and say, you know, the progression isn't great. There's no kind of reason to play it. Don't get wrong, they might have their own art style.
Be putting in before they release it, full, to actually make it have more of a point. Maybe they're just testing out mechanics and stuff. Is there any reason why it's set on Titan? Do we know why? Like, does that make it interesting at all, the fact that it is on one of Saturn's moons, or is it just basically saying it's a clean slate?
Yeah, I think it's just that.
So it's like, then what kind of sets it up? So then it's like, well, what sets it up? Why? Yeah. So I don't know.
I think they do explain it in the story. I think they even say, like the reason why no one sleeps is because everyone now takes pills that mean they don't need to eat or sleep. Stuff like that. So there is like a whole
backstory. Sounds like a devoid of personality, doesn't it?
yeah, you know what? I remember when I read this the first time, I remember thinking, that's lazy. just because you don't want to involve hunger, thirst, or sleep, you just went, fuck it, there's a pill.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully, keep an eye on this, because when it comes out full, you might play it again turn into something special.
Yeah, I'm not shit. I'm not discouraging anyone to get it, because fuck me, the looks. I like the devs when they've made this game, that they've set their idea to the atmosphere and the look of it, and they've done a great, great job. I just don't think they've put enough effort, or maybe they didn't think they needed an effort. Maybe they've gone for a lazy, nice, just casual game. But it's not for me on that regard.
This is PC only, isn't it, at the moment? It's PC, early access through Steam.
Yeah, early access through Steam. It's been in early access for a while. So it's not early access like you're going to get bugs and stuff. So don't worry about that.
Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you call it Tsushima? Oh, I thought it was...
Tsushima.
All right, okay. You don't know, do you?
Nah, I don't know. Don't know. Well, long-time listeners of this pod will know that I don't really like samurai games, do I? I don't really know why. I always use an Uchi Katana in Souls games. I'm always basically a samurai. And I actually quite like samurais and the background and everything. And I know, I quite like that kind of thing. But the games are always...
you like that? That's so
They're
confusing.
Crap, aren't they? I mean, Trek to Yomi was fucking bollocks. Like, that was tragic. And it's like, and I knew it would be. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's all a bit crap. And there is a thing that's like, you know, you just take a gun out and shoot him. I don't know. Like, it's...
That's Pete's main thing about games, isn't it? If you can just get a gun, then there's no point in the whole rest of the game.
Exactly. Oh. But, you know, yeah. And but we, as I said, I did play Trek to Yomi recently, and that was... Like, I was harsh. That was an average, albeit a very large waste of time. And it felt longer than it was. but this, I thought, because Stray comes out tomorrow in our world, yesterday in podcast, if you're listening to this on the day. Stray comes out, and I wanted to get a little value out of this. I've got this PS Plus extra package that I'm subscribed to, and I've looked for all the games and stuff, and I've downloaded a few, but I haven't actually really played much on it, like their equivalent of Game Pass. So I know Stray's coming out, and that's added to it, so that'll be a good heavy hitter for me to hit. But then I thought, you know what? Ghost of Tsushima is on this PS Plus extra, nice. And it's a huge fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse why I shouldn't be playing that. Like, there's and it's been my main game that I played this week. I've played quite a lot of it, and I can safely say that I absolutely slept on this game, and I definitely shouldn't have. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant game. Like, it's really, really fucking good. So you play as a samurai in it, Jin Sakai, that's his name. And basically the Mongols have invaded, and they've invaded your island of Tsushima before moving through onto Japan proper. And it's an open world samurai RPG. I mean, this is, you know, this is an older game. It's a couple of years old, but a lot of you listening may played it, probably have played it. You know, it's a big PlayStation game. I've played almost every big PlayStation game, but I totally missed this one. Just went like, nah, not for me. But it has got a next-gen upgrade with the director's cut that is on PS Plus. And the visuals are fantastic. Like, you start this, right? You start this opening sequence. You start the game, and I just went, oh... oh, like, I play this on a 4K monitor, like at my desk, and I said, Jesus, this looks really... I can't remember a game looking this nice. Obviously there are some things, but just the general feel of it and how they move and all that kind of stuff. The opening sequence is fantastic. You're like, yeah, this... I can immediately tell that this is going to be a high quality fucking experience. Yeah. Absolutely. It then moves on. It has kind of a handholdy story to start with, as it kind of builds that narrative focus on like what are you going to do? Mongols invaded. They killed fucking loads of people, and you've got to basically do a load of things to kind of raise an army and then do your thing to fight them back. But the combat is the main thing that I want to talk about. Yeah. I have never, ever experienced a game which has this responsiveness to the combat. You know, like when you're in a video game and you got to block and you got to parry and that type of stuff. Yeah. Usually there's like a method, like each game is different, like the parrying mechanics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In this game, like as long as you press block a microsecond before they hit you, it will block. It's like so uber super responsive. Yeah. And there's like a standoff system where if you come across a group of enemies because of like that samurai kind of like approach to things, calling out an enemy, and then you hold down a button, hold down triangle, and then as the person tries to strike you, you let go and you chop them down. Like it's in a one strike kill kind of thing. It's just so impactful. So feel good and so fucking responsive. Like, just if, like, I think it might be like the haptic feedback and stuff like that, or what the controller vibrations that really help with it. But there's not, when you're in the combat, there's a lock on system deep in the options that you can turn on. But again, I have turned that on, but I don't really use it because you can turn it on and then just not really use it. You don't. Because it surprised me that there wasn't a lock-on. Like in Dark Souls, you lock onto the character.
Yeah.
There isn't that. It's just kind of free-flowing. You know, you aim at the person. And I've just been incredibly surprised at satisfying that is. And I actually found myself at the start, like, they're going for a lot of story stuff, and I was just like, can you just let me go? Because I just want to
How does the combat look down. Then? As what I'm asking is, like, surely when you're, like, not aiming them, does the animations look a bit shit because you're just swiping? Or
no, some... Yeah, Ripley's got another opinion. For some reason, like, it's like the same... Shush in a minute. The same as I felt with Last of Us 2, where it's just like, from any angle, the game kind of recovers itself. She's noticed the dog outside.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's the sound of your mic muting, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. So from any angle, the game kind of recovers itself and sets it right to do the animation. And it's kind of the same here. It seems like there are just a number of different animations from different angles and stuff like that. So you've generally got a block or parry or a dodge. And the dodge, you do get a roll dodge, but dodge is just a simple, like, move out the way from spears and things like that. It's just so quick and responsive, and then it flows into the animation so easily. And another thing with samurai games, and this is what Trek to Yomi did very well as well, it's like that feeling that, like, it takes like a 2-3 hit kill for a lot of enemies. And the weaker enemies in this, they do, it's like 3 hits and they're dead. And it is kind of like, it feels more realistic with the amount of times that you hit them. You're hitting them with a fucking sword, a samurai sword. Like, they should get hurt, and they do. And I just think it handles it really well. And then even when you move on to, there are certain, like, mini boss battles where you do, like, particular segments, and you might have cleaned out an area and you've got to take out the leader of that particular area. And then it goes into almost like a boss sequence where the camera's zoomed in a little bit more. You're one-on-one. They've got like a health bar and like a, you could break their shield bar and that type of stuff. And it's just a bit more impactful. And, you know, some of those fights are a little bit stressful, especially at the start of the game when you're kind of learning the mechanics. And when you actually take them down, you're like, yes, that was fucking good. And there's different stances as well. Like, you have, I've got three of the stances at the moment, where you've got a normal stance, you've got a stance where your sword is really high, and that's one where you can take on shielded people more easily and stagger them. And then you've got another stance which helps with spear enemies and stuff like that, where you can stagger them more easily. It's just, and so you're constantly changing depending on who you're fighting. You get a lot of different, it's just a hell of a lot of combat mechanics. You get a bow, you can throw bloody things that blow up on enemies, and like, it's just a load of different mechanics, and it definitely does celebrate you not just going in gung-ho and going around the side and doing the non-samurai thing by killing people out of the shadows and that type of stuff. Because the whole message at the start they do is say, samurais face people head on.
Right.
However, you're learning that this is why you're called the ghost, because you kind of strike out the shadows, and that's kind of like the less honorable thing.
Yeah.
But you've got to do what you need to do to get by and to do this. You know what? I think it's, that stuff works so well. And the map system is very, you know, one of those where, like, markers appear on your map and you go and you go to these areas. But one of the things that they keep immersion going with, which is bloody brilliant, is this. You stroke up on the center part of the controller, and the wind will then blow in a certain direction, and that leads you to the next place. So you set a waypoint, cool. And then, yeah, so the really wind guides you. So there's no mini-map. There's no any of that. So it keeps the immersion going at all times by just these different visual ways of doing it. And sometimes you come over a hill and you're like, wow, that scene is excellent. The sun is coming down on this field. And then your character leans over on the horse and just like brushes his hand through the tall grass and stuff like that. You're like, whoa, it just looks really fucking good. And as I said, the map at the moment, it's got enough on it to go like, well, what do I want to do? And I want to clean up the map a little bit, but it's not overwhelming. So it seems to me that Sucker Punch, who made this, and Sony have basically looked at Assassin's Creed and gone, we really like what that does, but we're going to make a really, really good one. And they've taken all the good parts of Assassin's Creed
You're setting a lot of people here. I like that.
Assassin's Creed is a wonderful franchise, long term franchise, and a lot of people love the newer games, and I can definitely see why. And a lot of them, I definitely had a good time with Odyssey in particular. I did a bit on Valhalla, but Odyssey and Origins I spent a lot of time with, but Odyssey the most time. And it does become a little bit mindless after time because you're just doing things on the map and things like that. And it's enjoyable, but it's a bit mindless. But this seems focused Assassin's Creed. Interesting setting, interesting story, and fucking badass combat. And I really, really enjoying it, and so glad that I have finally played it.
This was almost a console seller to me.
I can understand this one.
Days Gone, funnily enough, even though Days Gone, a lot of people didn't like it, but
no, Days Gone. I mean, Days Gone has grown on people over time. Like now, it's absolutely, viewed as, like,
a darling. And in fact, it came up on one of lists I was reading the other day as one of the games. I think it was like number two of games that reviewers got wrong, and that was actually up there. So a lot of people, you're totally right. But this one, Ghost of Tsushima, that. I've always loved the look of it. When I saw it back in the day, it was shit. Am I going to have to chop a lot of money into a PlayStation now?
Well, I'll tell you what, like, that PlayStation 4, because this originally came out on PlayStation 4, didn't it?
Came out that, in 2020, didn't it?
Yeah, these PlayStation 4 to 20, to PlayStation 5 games, these, so like Ghosts, Days Gone, Death Stranding, and then Spider-Man, God of War, Last of Us 2. Like, Jesus Christ. Mm. Like, Sony just blew, and I'm sure I've missed a few off, just blown away by the games that they have, the single-player games that they have produced.
Yeah.
Like, they are mind-bogglingly good. and this just pop it on the tab. You know, it's just another excellent, excellent game. So if you've got PS Plus Extra, you've never played this game, give it a whirl while the big games we're waiting. I mean I made a list this morning about all the games that I'm compiled to the end of the year, actually, and there are fucking loads. But for the next month or so, there are a few indie games like Stray and stuff, but Stray I think is about 5 hours long. I think Endling is also 5 hours long. I'm gonna play both of those, but this type of game, I think it's a longer one. You can put in at least 30 hours if you're just focusing on the story, but I think you could do 50 odd. And just get involved, I'd say.
Won a lot of Game of the Year awards as well.
I think, got a hell of a lot of awards, didn't it? Yeah, because it's just stylish.
Yeah.
Stylish, and fuck it, that combat, really, really impressed.
Yeah.
So, but okay, well, that's what we've been playing. So we'll probably move on because, as we've said, we've played a lot of Warzone. We've been playing most nights, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, are we still on what we've been playing, or we're on the feature now?
No, this is my transition to the feature.
Very nice, yeah, nice.
This is my transition to the feature. So we have been playing a fuck ton of Warzone over the last 3 weeks. We've got back into it. We used to play it for fucking night on night for 6-9 months.
Yeah.
But now we're back, and that got us talking, and then we settled with the prompt of Pete to do our feature on Warzone 2, because Warzone 2 is going to be coming out. We've got Modern Warfare 2 coming out on the 28th of October, I believe. And Warzone 2, we haven't got a release date for it, but it will be coming out around that time, maybe a few months after, depending. Mm. But it's going to be on a new engine. And so it's a complete new game. So just to summarize with the original Warzone, for those that don't know, it is a battle royale. You're in teams of solos up to quads. You're on an island with 140 odd people or whatever, and there's gas that closes in, and you fight to the end, don't you?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
You fight to the end. So yeah, it's just like Fortnite, but just Call of Duty's version.
Or PUBG.
Yeah, exactly. Now
don't go straight to Fortnite. The fucking
well, that's you know, a lot of people know what that is, but so
a lot of people know what PUBG is.
Yeah, I know. PUBG's but just
well, I was gonna say
the PUBG came out before. PUBG came up.
PUBG
before,
was the original.
It was the original battle royale. So I think it was the original. Anyway, So since the start of Warzone, which was a few years ago, they've had new Call of Duties come out with Black Ops, Cold War. They had Vanguard most recently. The original map was Verdansk, and that got nuked. And now they have Caldera in the Pacific, which is the map as is right now. There's a new Call of Duty coming out, and instead of adding those guns into the game and into the map and that type of stuff, they are just making a completely new game from afresh called Warzone 2. So, yeah, completely new progression, completely starting from fresh. So how do we feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Over the moon about it. I mean, I was always going to be, because any kind of update on Warzone, especially with, you know, new engine and whatnot, very, very excited. The first map in Warzone, I should say, kept us for a while. This one's probably going to take us another 6 months to get bored of, and then we're going to have this one coming up right in time. Perfect. Mm.
It is probably great time for us, isn't it? Yeah. By the time that we'll be tailing off, I'm also quite interested in this being a completely new progression system starting from fresh, because it means that we get to kind of build up with everyone else.
Absolutely. I find the most fun, and this is kind of bad, but in Warzone, I find the most fun is actually leveling up the guns. And this probably comes down to my sad little, yes, I like attachments on guns. But it's so much fun. Like, I like the way Activision do, the way they introduce new guns and the way they nerf old guns.
I love it.
So that you feel like, you know what I mean? Like, each... Do you remember we used to mess each other like, holy shit, they've nerfed the foul to this? And
me and you were using the foul. Yeah, we were using the foul
for a while.
And then they nerfed it.
Yeah,
and
but it's like, you know, I was devastated. But at the same time, it gave me the excitement to pick up. And I remember typing in, you know, what's the new meta? And then you go through all your research again. And then you level up that gun. You get excited when you've got a certain attachment that makes you a gun. And I think it's good because you always tell yourself the reason why I'm shit is because I haven't got the perfect gun.
Yeah, but, and I think it really does, but it does affect him. And we're learning that from us going back to it now. Like, the guns that we now have in Warzone now make us competitive. But if you don't have those guns,
you are
in trouble. But I love how they nerf them. I love how they're constant. It's a lesson in how to do live service games.
Yes,
To changing things. To reacting to what people say, to changing things constantly. It's it keeps things fresh because it keeps you, because you're never gone, oh, I've got the best. Because what they'll do is we both use an NZ, they'll nerf the NZ. And then we've got to go, oh, what? And then just before the show, for our listeners, Eddie said he's got the spreadsheet back out.
You've
got the spreadsheet of all the guns and the time to kills and all that kind of stuff. Eddie loves spreadsheets for guns, for the guns in games.
I love a bit of work.
so we say, oh, we're thinking about using this gun. What do you think about it? And he looks it up on his spreadsheet. I told you about a new SMG that I was using the other day, and you looked it up on your spreadsheet. Oh, you went, it's third best time to kill. That's all right. Yeah. Okay. it's fucking great stuff. But so they have said about the new Warzone that there will be new technology, new features, and new gameplay that will work seamlessly together. Not really sure what that means, but they're supposedly new loot mechanics, which we'll go into in a second.
Yeah.
And Warzone 1 will be continuing alongside Warzone 2. Mm. And I assume that is just because people probably will have spent a lot of money in Warzone 1.
Oh, you reckon? Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm kind of shocked by that because they must be confident in their player base because, you know, you're basically competing with yourself if you bring out a new one, because a lot of people might stay on the old one. Also, like, when there's a lot of bugs in, for example, there's probably going to be bugs at the beginning of this game.
Oh, people will just go back to Warzone 1.
That's what I'm thinking, instead of, just seeing it out and just waiting for that patch.
But maybe they'll phase it out, they won't do new seasons, it'll basically stay how it is. So it's like, well, if you want to play Warzone 1, you can, but there's nothing new being supported.
It's like going maybe back to playing the old Halos. Like some
people, or like an old FIFA.
Yes,
where you've
exactly.
got loads of, where you've got a good ultimate team.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I like that idea.
So maybe that's how it is. But it has been described as an evolution in Battle Royale. Now, I'm not really sure what they mean by that, but we do have some rumours that we'll go into. But, Battle Royale is a pretty tried and tested formula. But, you know, they might be planning some new things. But it's going to be built in Modern Warfare 2's engine. So as we said right at the start, this is... Warzone 1 looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great.
I was looking at it the other day. I was playing it, obviously. I think games do look better because I do play at my desk. I have all three consoles on a desk, and I have it on a monitor, 4K monitor, and I do think they look probably better than they do when I sit at my TV and you sat far away and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because
probably.
I was looking playing Warzone the other day, I was like, how? It's fucking good looking, isn't it?
Mm, absolutely. It's just like even the details. I remember one game when I was pretty drunk with Kirk, and we were in like this bathroom together, and I was zooming into shit. And like you saw, like
sorry, this was in the game, right?
This is in the game. we don't get into naughty stuff. And we were just like looking at these tiny little details on your chest or on the floor, or they got little signs underneath like vases, and it's so.
So
detailed.
You're looking at Kirk's. You're zooming into Kirk's chest in the bathroom.
Oh god, don't read in between the. Hey, I think his character was a woman. If that helps, that's an
accurate. Whatever you're into, Eddie. I don't care.
Well, stop questioning what me and Kirk do in our private time.
I've told you many times that I don't care what you're into.
It's a bit weird how much you talk about it. Yeah, it's just like the level of detail is incredible. I've never had it a problem, but hey, like any kind of update, I'm not mad at.
No, this has been confirmed to be on both last gen and next gen consoles. However, it's thought that there won't be cross-gen play, which is really good. So we, if we're playing on a next-gen console, won't have to play with prior-gen consoles. They'll play, but because there will be different versions of the game. And we saw this with Battlefield 2042, didn't we? That if you had a PS4, you couldn't play with the PS5 people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the loading time's so different as well, isn't it? Like, even playing Rocket League, like, me and Kirk always say, like, oh, God, old gen, because it would be like...
Well, we thought that was
like
Halo, didn't we?
Yes, Halo exactly. Infinite.
You're
Halo.
Like, oh, fucking God, hell, man.
Yeah. Do you think... Because I have a big problem with playing with PC players. You can see a PC player from a mile away, can't you?
So this is the thing. We tried to turn... we tried to turn it off recently, didn't we?
Yep.
But it wouldn't let us.
It said to play Warzone, you need cross-gen enabled.
Yeah, it's got a fucking option
don't give
in
us
the options
option
that says, do you want to play? So previously, I used to play on PC. Oh, so you guys always had to have PC. I always thought I was the reason why we were playing with PC players. But actually, we tried to turn it off because now I play on Xbox. And it said, it goes, yeah, that's fine. Then you try and play a game and it goes, hang on a minute. You have to turn it on. What?
Yeah, I know. that makes no sense, but...
But I don't know. I think PC players, like... I think I don't know if you've noticed, the aim assist on controllers is very heavy.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people complain about this, but what did the developers say ages ago? I think they said they think that the aim assist equals out to the same leveling as how easy it is to use a mouse and keyboard.
So I think that's true at close combat, but it's not true at far away. So what I would like to see is that you could play without PC players, because if you notice when you're in close combat, you do follow and track the person with a controller. It does naturally track. And you'll notice that in the gulag when you walk past people.
Yes.
But on a PC from distance, like, they can just laser you way more easily than can on a console. So I would actually like them to split out, because I do think they obviously have the player base. This is one of the few games where they could do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the amount of people that play it. I'm surprised it hasn't... I mean, they've got the option, but I'm surprised it hasn't been implemented sooner. Because there is a huge debate. If you type in just... PC or console Warzone, holy shit, you will find a billion. And my God, have I researched on it, because I've got a PC that I could play Warzone on.
I know, and you actually went for a period where you tried to play on PC, didn't you? A short period. I did,
and I was getting a lot more kills, but I don't know if you remember, Ben, I went back because you and Ben, you're not the mobile people, and I'm the flanker.
Me and Jack, we are...
You like staying still and just getting downed. So,
yeah, we like getting shot at and shooting.
Exactly. So I'm the guy that runs around the back and kills them.
I like to term myself the bullet sponge.
Yes. You're the tagger.
I take the heat.
Eddie's here.
I'm hot stuff.
So with PC, I just found it, probably because I'm not used to it. I reckon if I kept to it, but I wasn't used to the movement. I felt the movement better on console and the shooting better on PC. So I moved back, but... I just want it disabled, because no matter what side of the fence you're on, you're always going to say the opposite side. I know that all PC players moan to hell about aimbot. So I just think if they just had a system that just played with your own field, play in your own field.
Yeah, I get that. And also, you get, although you do get hackers on console, you get fewer.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be, because hackers just ruin the game. So,
yeah. Especially with Warzone, because it's all about that half an hour. If you've got a game, it's a half an hour game. It's all build up, and then...
Oh,
and
they can just be over. Hacker, yeah.
Yeah, it's devastating.
Yeah. But we do know there's going to be visual improvements, obviously, with the new engine. There's also rumours of a field of vision slider.
Yeah, I know that's big for PC players, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. So, there's also rumours of that. Warzone 2, this is a quote, Warzone 2 is basically a new COD title. Look at it as a sequel. So, there we go. But we do have some rumours for mechanic changes, don't we? Yeah. So, at the moment, there's what you get is a loadout drop. So, after a few minutes into the game, your team get your guns that you have pre-set up. So you load into the war zone, you drop in, and you've got no guns, and you have to pick up a random gun that's on the floor. After a few minutes, you get what's called a loadout drop, which drops into the game where your team could travel to a thing and pick your desired loadout, which you've designed separately, and have your guns. Now, they're talking about there being a new approach to this, aren't they?
Yeah, very excited.
They're calling it Strongholds. Well, this is rumour, so... I don't know who's calling it Strongholds.
No. I like the way you're building this up. Let's just pretend it's already happened.
So it's set to alter the way players receive their loadouts. According to leaks, players can approach one of 20 to 30 stronghold areas on the map and complete a set of objectives. Once these objectives are complete, they'll gain access to their loadouts. I fucking love that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's really cool. I would still like the option to do what you can, because you can wait for your loadout, or you can buy a loadout drop to get your stuff. It's a different mechanic, because at the moment you get a loadout that drops into like a middle of a road or something, right, and we have to scope it out, check there isn't another team there, that type of stuff. Yeah. It's a different, totally different dynamic.
I absolutely love it. They're saying that there's defusing a bomb or defeating AI enemies.
Yeah.
Which I think sounds awesome, because imagine, like, Warzone's great because you've got your teamwork and you're doing your whole thing, but sometimes it's a bit sad when you drop in, you look for loads of stuff, and then the first people you come across, they see you first and you're dead. So I think this is brilliant, like getting your team together and doing an objective and winning that objective straight away and getting a good reward like your loadout afterwards. I love it. It adds to the team building. It adds to the memories. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it really could. Now, I think there's the risk that it changes the game a bit too much. Yeah. But I think there's also the possibility that it just makes it a lot better.
Well, Ben, they have... The one thing I'll say about Activision with this, that they've done really good. As you said, they're an example of what a live service game should be. Is how many times have they introduced something and it's been bad?
Oh,
and they've got rid of it?
Yes, that's true.
Brilliant. Even if it's missions, if it's certain guns, they've changed it.
They're also brilliant at game modes, like not just the war. So when you load up Warzone, there are several different game modes that you can play, which aren't just the normal battle royale Warzone. And they're adding in, at the moment they added in a deathmatch mode, which was in a certain area. They've now extended that, so it's in different places on the map, because they've gone, well, that's really popular. People like that because it's a way to level up guns when you don't have the full game. It's almost like, in a way, they recognize that people may not want to buy the actual Call of Duty game, but they want to play Warzone, and they will buy a battle pass, or they will spend money in other ways.
Yeah.
Like myself, like I'm willing to pay money for something that I enjoy and I play on a monthly, on a daily basis or whatever. Yeah. But I don't want to buy your game, which I'm not actually, I don't want that multiplayer. I don't want to play it. I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
So I do think it's like, it's not like they appreciate, but they've worked out another way to monetize, which suits me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, before they started doing all those special games, like leveling up a weapon used to be very, very hard. But
really difficult, yeah.
They kind of bring out a new thing probably every 3 weeks or something. And some of the game modes are pure joy. Like, I remember the Halloween with the zombies.
Oh, the zombie ones was cool. Yeah. And they're just interesting. But I do appreciate that they have different modes that do allow you to do the leveling up of guns and stuff like that. So you don't have to spend 40 quid on their game or 50 quid, 60 quid, 70 quid, all that kind of stuff. So there is that. There's also something called Pro Perks, which is from older Black Ops games, rumored to be coming back. Now, I think this is basically like the perk system that we've already got. So you can attach perks to your guns, or you can pick them up on the way round. And they may make you load in with all ammo, or may you make you run faster, or see
less
certain things,
or grenades, or something.
Yeah, that type of stuff. But there are different pro versions of these perks that have been in previous Call of Duty games, which they're looking to introduce. So that also sounds quite interesting and a bit of an evolution.
Yeah.
The last one, which I think you might have a bit of an opinion on.
The
introduction of a bag system for inventory management, similar to Apex or PUBG.
Yeah. I'm over the moon about this. I think the one thing that PUBG has over Warzone, apart from the fact that it is the original gangster, is their system of like picking up and having your bag and you can't carry so much. I wish Warzone had this. I wish Warzone had a system where you picked up like a base weapon, and then you pick up like attachments and stuff, like in PUBG. And then it's about talking to your team and saying, "I have a sniper. Oh, I've got an 8x8x scope," and then you combine it. So
I do love the loadout system, though.
If they had that
as well as your loadouts,
yes,
that would be fucking
absolutely
cool.
Maybe that the loadout is slightly harder to get. I mean, it doesn't even need to be slightly harder to get. If you just introduced, I don't know, a weapons with you can only carry so much. Maybe you can only carry one attachment.
Weight.
I don't know.
I'd like a weight system similar to something like Dark Souls, where you have degrees. So let's say you have arbitrary 100 units of weight you can carry. Anything over than that, you can't. But then if you are between 75 and 100, you move slower.
Yes.
And then you move faster as it comes down. And so there's actually a risk-reward system to carrying more stuff. That would be very, very cool.
And then you've kind of got a class in that, because you can go, I'm the flanker, so I'll only carry like one grenade.
Self-given class.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then you can have the tank who just carries loads of shit.
Yeah,
and then
he carries all your shit. Yes, because he's the guy that's going to... Yeah, he's going to stay there, so he carries all the armor for the team and shit like that, divvies it out.
Shit.
Yes, you've got a flanker, which is your nimble guy going around the outside.
Nimble one doesn't carry much. Oh, wow.
Yeah, or the guy that might die, myself, that doesn't carry stuff.
Everyone has a Ben on their team.
it's a recognized class.
the Ben class.
So Modern Warfare 2 comes out on the 28th of October. It's unconfirmed when Warzone 2 is going to be released. The original one came out, I think, 5 months after the game. Let's hope that that doesn't happen. I think a lot of people are waiting for this.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it's a long time after that, because Modern Warfare 2 comes out. If there isn't Warzone attached, I haven't got a reason to buy it. And a reason I say that is because Modern Warfare 2, I don't think that's going to be incorporated. None of those guns are going to be incorporated into Warzone 1. Therefore, I think sales will be down on that game unless they release a Warzone, because a lot of people play Warzone and they get Warzone and they get the Modern Warfare, or they get the Call of Duty game because they can level up their guns and practice in multiplayer and all that kind of stuff. And they kind of go hand in hand.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a hand-in-hand type thing. But without Warzone being associated with a new Call of Duty, I think sales could suffer. So in my mind, I think it's going to come out this year. So it could come out November, December time. So really, I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, it sounds like what we've talked about are all leaks and rumors. So unless less quoted. it seems fucking good, doesn't it? I think we're really looking forward to it. But this all sets us up, because we did our stream last week. We're doing our stream this Thursday. So if you are interested in Warzone after we've banged on about it, then you can watch us play on Thursday on Twitch, Grumpy Gamers Pod, all one word. And we're going to get a win. I mean, I said it, and if we don't
you
get a win... We'll get it some other time. So socials, you can email us podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us @grumpygamerspod. As I said, Twitch, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, all one word. That's where we're streaming on Thursday, 7 p.m. BST. I'll put something up on Twitter about it. And what's the other social? YouTube. Yes. Grumpy Gamers Podcast, where we will be releasing a few more videos. So we put up our stream each week, so you can catch up our stream. We put the podcast up as well. As we said before, the podcast is the main thing, but we do we're doing Twitch and YouTube just a bit more often. We're putting things up there. So if anybody wants to go there, that's fantastic. But, if we do a few more videos, we're going to be doing some stuff about RimWorld. We're going to be putting one up about the quarry, I think, this week. So yeah, putting up some other videos.
I think maybe a Warhammer one as well, I believe.
Oh yeah. And you're going to be doing a Warhammer one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So next couple of weeks, we've got our videos planned. In the meantime, I'm going to go and see to the dog because she's trying to get at the tortoise, so that's why she's moaning. But, right, but for this week, it's GG.
Oh, GG.